Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple F podcast for week 11. My name is Patrick Caldwell, and I'm going to talk about one of my top lineups on FanDuel here for week 11. Le'Veon Bell aside, I think we can safely assume that James Conner is going to be the lead back in Pittsburgh, with the knowledge that Le'Veon Bell obviously is not coming back for the rest of the 2018 season. He is ineligible, as he did not report. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some other quick news before I get into my lineup. The Chiefs-Rams game is going to be played in L.A. Coliseum because of the whole Estadio Azteca in Mexico City is not up to par with NFL standards, so they are moving the game to Los Angeles. So keep that in mind. It's now an actual home game for the Rams and not an international game. Other than that, one big piece of news that I want to mention that really didn't get many headlines. Eagles cornerback Ronald Darby tore his ACL in last week's loss to the Cowboys and will be out for the rest of the season. So keep that in mind as you build some of your lineups here for week 11, because that to me is saying hello, Michael Thomas. I mean, it's always bad to hear about an injury, but when it comes to fantasy, injuries can kind of be a thumbs up. I mean, it tells you, okay, well, they're a little bit weaker on the back end, so why not play people against them, because they really are going to be struggling. All right, so let me jump right into it. I obviously mentioned that, keeping in mind the fact that Michael Thomas is the top wide receiver in terms of salary. He's definitely going to be involved in New Orleans' pass offense, so he is my top receiver in this lineup I'm talking about. He costs $8,800, so he is going to be someone you really have to invest in, but he's worth it. I mean, he's had 23 targets over the past 2 weeks, and he's caught 20 of them for 281 yards and 3 touchdowns. Let me just say, you are not going to find that pretty much anywhere. Like, those are Antonio Brown numbers back when the Steelers were actually, like, high-flying every single week, you know. And they kind of are now, too. Like, last week, of course, especially against the Panthers, but I'm talking when they were consistent and Antonio Brown was getting like 1500 plus yards pretty much every year. Definitely Michael Thomas at 8,800. That trend should continue because Ronald Darby is out for the year now. The secondary for the Eagles is definitely lacking. Let me go back up to quarterback, because I feel like that's kind of one of the more important roles here. I'm kind of leaning this lineup towards the notion that the Colts at home are actually going to come somewhat struggle in this divisional matchup against their rival Tennessee Titans. And so because of that, I'm rolling the dice here, and I'm going to go with Marcus Mariota, who's had a couple of good, consistent games. At Dallas a couple weeks ago, he completed 21 of 29 for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns, while also rushing for 32 yards and a touchdown, though he did fumble twice. So his fantasy score on FanDuel, his FanDuel point total would have actually been up at north of 26 if it wasn't for those two fumbles. So 22.8, still a pretty respectable score from a quarterback standpoint. And then last week against New England, he completed, two-thirds of his passes, 16 of 24 for 228 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then he rushed for 21 yards on 2 carries. He also had that one 21-yard reception as well from Jennings, the wide receiver. So that's that was implemented into his total as well. So 21.82 there. And at 7,100, Mariota's a value play at quarterback. You're saving quite a lot of money compared to options like, Drew Brees and I'm trying to think of other options. Like Drew Brees and Cam Newton are the two high plays this week, 85 and 8,600 respectively. Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers are also pretty expensive. So if you want to save some money at the quarterback position and still get some decent production, I think Marcus Mariota is a safe bet. Two good weeks in a row, and it looks like his rapport with Corey Davis, the wide receiver, is really starting to, you know, kick into gear. Between that and the fact that Deion Lewis is starting to get some more receptions out of the backfield, Derrick Henry is creating a somewhat more consistent running game. That defense is definitely the anchor of the team, but the offense is starting to come into stride here towards the second half of the season, and I'm really thinking that the Titans will make a statement here in this divisional matchup against the Colts. So I would run with Marcus Mariota. And while we're talking about the Titans, I do want to talk about the stacks that I've got going on. This is a very Titan-centric lineup. I was mentioning Corey Davis. He costs $6,200, which is pretty cheap for a wide receiver. And I get why, because he hasn't been as consistent as you'd want him to be. But I think he's going to somewhat develop a trend here. He did just catch 7 of 10 passes or 7 of 10 targets last week against New England for 125 yards and a touchdown. Pretty good considering, you know, New England has guys like Stephon Gilmore, Jonathan Jones. You know, they have guys that can cover receivers. Just Corey Davis is just that athletic of a player, you know. He's just a good receiver. And I don't think the Colts necessarily have the personnel to shut down Corey Davis enough. Davis has gotten 20 targets in the past 2 weeks, and the Colts rank 24th against the pass. So let me just tell you, if you're playing Mariota, play Corey Davis, especially because he's cheap. You know, $6,200, it balances out because Michael Thomas is $8,800. So if you're getting Corey Davis at 6'2", it's pretty good. Continuing this Titans trend I've been talking about, let me go into the defense. I actually want to play the Titans defense as well, and I know that it's a kind of a risky play. The Colts have scored 36 points per game over the last 3 weeks, all wins. It's definitely not an offense you want to kick to the curb and act like they're going to choke. And I'm not saying that the Colts are going to score maybe even under 20. I think they'll score above 20 in this game. But I think that the Colts' O-line is going to falter somewhere in this game to the point where they start giving up a few sacks. The Titans have a good pass rush. And I think it's going to show in this game between the pass rush and the fact that their defense has been pretty smothering. I mean, the Titans' defense actually ranks like 6th against the pass and like in the top 15 at least against the run. So overall, I like their chances of somewhat containing Marlon Mack and the rest of the running back committee for the Colts, as well as generating pressure on Andrew Luck, forcing him to make throws he otherwise might not want to make. And at 3,400, the Titans defense is a pretty solid play. They've scored at least 7 fantasy points or FanDuel points in the last 2 weeks, 7 against New England and then 10 against Dallas. And they've had 8 sacks in the last 2 weeks with 2 turnovers. So overall, yeah, especially coming off their big win against New England, I think they're going to ride that momentum into this division matchup on the road and really show the nation what they're about. I think the Titans are one of those sleeper teams. Not many people think about them, but they're better than people think. It's a small market team, and they're making strides. They have a lot of good players that just don't get the press. So watch out for the Titans defense. $3,400 on FanDuel, worth it. And then I want to talk about the last Titan player I'm playing. Yes, I'm playing 4 in this lineup. Deion Lewis, I think he's a better play, has a higher floor than Derrick Henry, only because Derrick Henry seems to get more of the running down slash goal line work, which, yeah, does give you more of a chance for a touchdown. But Deion Lewis gets receptions out of the backfield, which obviously in this format, 0.5 PPR, it helps a lot. He's still a run between the tackles kind of running back too, to the point where he can get decent yardage. He's not gonna wow you with his yards per carry or anything. Like, he's had 39 carries out of the backfield the last two games, and 62 plus 57, that's, you know, 119, and so not very great in terms of yards per carry there. But I mean, it's a little under three, I think. Not great, but bottom line, the receptions out of the backfield are nice, and then there's always a chance they'll get a receiving touchdown, you know, when they're close to the end zone and in need of a check down option to try and, you know, to try and get in the end zone. I think Deion Lewis is a good stack with the Titans defense, and so at 5,900, he's a pretty good play. I put him in my flex spot because I'm going to get to my running backs here later and tell you why, but at 5,900, he's a pretty decent flex option. All right, so I was talking about the running backs. Let's get right into it. There are two, there are actually like more than two that I think are going to have a quality game this week, but I'm going pretty expensive here at running back because of the fact that a lot of the good ones cost so much. Alvin Kamara for the Saints obviously has been very, very effective in fantasy over the last 3-4 weeks. And that's even with the effectiveness of it's Mark Ingram, not Melvin Ingram, not Matt Ingram. Mark Ingram, that's the guy. Okay, so Alvin Kamara, even with Mark Ingram there, now that my head's back on straight, has been pretty effective. Let's take a quick look at his game log here on FanDuel. I'm counting 7 total touchdowns in the last 3 weeks for Kamara, which is, you know, that's Gurley-esque. I mean, we all know Kamara has been great, but, like, that's pretty amazing. Like, 5 in the last 2, 7 in the last 3. So that's pretty incredible. I'm pretty sure in the last 2 games against the Rams and against the Bengals, he's had over 100 yards from scrimmage, so that definitely helps. And he's had at least 5 targets out of the backfield in each of these games. So he's basically almost a lock to get you at least 15-plus points. Obviously, it's not a guarantee. I can't ever guarantee anything, but, like, Kamara is one of the safer plays, even against a tough rush defense like the Eagles. That's not where he's going to get his points, and we all know that. He's going to get his points from the receptions out of the backfield. It's James White-esque in the sense that he's going to be effective from every standpoint out of the backfield, whether it's a screen play, whether it's just a quick, you know, option route or whatever. He's going to be open, and he's going to get his receptions and his yards and probably a touchdown or two, while Mark Ingram tries to essentially break down the interior line of the defense. Kamara will kind of break away at the ends, and that's kind of the way the Saints do things, you know. And they're at home in New Orleans, and so I think Alvin Kamara, even though he costs $8,900 and he's the most expensive player in this lineup, is definitely worth a value play here. He's not a value play, but he's worth playing considering the opponent, considering how effective he's been over the last 3 weeks. There's no reason not to play him. My other running back this week is banking on that weird West Coast matchup here between the Raiders and the Cardinals. I'm going with David Johnson because I'm liking what I'm seeing out of him the last couple weeks. It seems like the Cardinals fired Mike McCoy as offensive coordinator and brought in they didn't bring him in, he was already there. They basically promoted Byron Leftwich as the interim offensive coordinator, if you will, who he was already the quarterback coach there. That's why they didn't need to really bring him in. But my point being, ever since Leftwich took over, it seems as if Johnson has been a little more effective, especially this last game against the Chiefs was a statement game for him. The Cardinals may have lost 26-14, but it was the damn Chiefs. You know what I mean? Like, the Chiefs have been scoring like nobody's business. Patrick Mahomes has been lights out this entire year. They put up 26, which it's still a great amount of points, but for the Chiefs, that's not really something to get excited about, you know? So between the fact that they had a good game against them and all of their scoring came from David Johnson, 21 rushes for 98 yards and a touchdown, and then he caught 7 of 9 targets for 85 yards and another touchdown. So he was approaching 200 scrimmage yards, and he had 2 touchdowns. I mean, he had 33.8 FanDuel points last week, so you're not going to expect something like that every week out of him. But I think that the Raiders, with how bad they've been of late, they rank 30th against the run, 21st against the pass. I really don't think that the Raiders are in a position to stop David Johnson. He's not going to be used as much, I don't think, in a passing sense, but I think he'll get a lot of carries considering they'll have to wind down some clock near the end of the game or whatever. They could bring in a couple of the backups too to do that, but I think Johnson has a high floor here in this matchup, and so I'd consider starting him. Even though he costs $7,900, he is worth the play. Let me go down to the third wide receiver. I've already mentioned Michael Thomas and Corey Davis. Keeping with the Eagles-Saints matchup, I want to go back and consider the possibility of Nelson Aguilar, who costs $5,300. And even though Golden Tate made an appearance for the first time in the offense last week against Dallas, Golden Tate had like, what, 18 offensive snaps out of a total of like 70 or so. He was on the field for not even maybe 20% of the snaps. I'll go back actually and look at his snap count. But I think that will change. Golden Tate will definitely get more snaps. He had 18 of 62 snaps, so that was 29%, my bad. But he caught 2 of 4 targets for 19 yards, and I feel like Aguilar, who took advantage of the fact that Tate wasn't as used to the playbook, he might not have had a huge game, but, you know, 5 of 7 for 83 yards is not a bad game for a slot receiver. And at $5,300, you could definitely do worse. I think against the New Orleans Saints, who are going to be too busy focusing on guys like Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey, and even now Golden Tate, you've got guys like that to focus on. Like Nelson Aguilar, he's definitely a weapon you got to think about too, but I feel like he's kind of the X factor almost for them. I mean, he's not Zach Ertz, let's be real. Zach Ertz is going to be the most targeted receiver, but Nelson Aguilar is definitely a high potential candidate for a long touchdown this week. And because of that, at $5,300, he's a good value play. He's worth putting into other lineups as well. If you're trying to make your own and not really follow mine that much, which I'd recommend you do actually, because I try to give good guidelines, but I feel like if everybody would just copy what I do, they might not like it. I don't necessarily think that my lineups are going to be like the top every single time, because let's be real, the chance of that happening, if I could do that every time, I'd be a millionaire, and everybody would just do everything I say anyway, but then we'd all be splitting the costs or the total winnings. But Aguilar, in my opinion, good play. He had 10.8 FanDuel points last week, and even against Jacksonville the week before, he put up a modest 7.8. So 13 targets in his last 2 weeks, 20 in his last 3. Tate being there will probably affect that somewhat, but I think it's safe to say he gets at least 5 to 6 targets, and I think one or two of them will be a deep ball that could very well end up being a good touchdown. He's he's one of those boom or busts kind of deal, but it's a good matchup for him, so I think it's more boom, you know what I mean? That's where I'm leaning when it comes to Aguilar. So, yep, Nelson Aguilar, 5,300, rounds out your receiver core there. And then at tight end, there should be 6,500 remaining if you followed me along. But at tight end, I've actually decided to go with O.J. Howard for the Buccaneers against the Giants. Excuse me, I ate some soup earlier, and that soup is giving me some burps. O.J. Howard had kind of a dud game last week, you know, one catch for 15 yards on two targets against the Redskins. That's not going to happen every week. It's kind of an outlier game, honestly, just kind of like week one against the Saints when he had two catches on two targets for 54 yards. It's like one of those things that, like, O.J. Howard's too good to not be involved in that offense, and I feel like it was just kind of the game forced Fitzpatrick to move away from Howard a bit, just because I think that Howard was getting a lot more attention than other receivers like Humphreys and Chris Godwin and guys like that. So he's going to go back to getting more of the targets. Like, he hasn't ever been a huge high volume target kind of guy, but he tends to do a lot with the chances he does get. And against the Giants, who they're middle of the road when it comes to pass defense, but tight ends tend to give them some trouble. So I would definitely consider playing O.J. Howard and betting on the fact that he'll bounce back this week. So he costs 6,300, but I think he's worth it. He's probably one of the safer candidates at tight end, because you could also do, with 6,500 remaining, you know, you could do Greg Olsen, who actually is just now, it's been reported that he was a limited participant at practice today because of his foot. So something to keep an eye on. But Greg Olsen at the Lions is a possibility at 6,500. You could play Austin Hooper at home against the Cowboys for 6,000. The problem is, I don't think he's going to get a huge amount of targets like he did this past week against Cleveland. Against Dallas, I just don't see him being a huge X factor in that game. I think it's going to be a Calvin Ridley game, to be honest. But Hooper could do something. It's very, very possible. I'm just going to go with O.J. Howard, just because I think he's going to have the best week out of most of the tight ends, obviously outside of maybe Zach Ertz. So, if you want to spend the money on Zach Ertz, you can. I would recommend you don't flex out a tight end, because it's kind of an iffy play to do. But I'm just here to essentially give you my thoughts. You are very much free to do what you like in terms of fantasy DFS lineups and all that. If you want to make your own lineup, that's kind of the point of this. It's just kind of give you a guide, what I do usually and why, my reasoning for why I'm playing who I'm playing. But if you feel that you would rather play a certain person, by all means, let me know in the comments too. Like, say, oh, you know, I'm playing this guy because of X, Y, and Z. Like, I'd love to hear it. We can have a good discussion about it, and you know, we can go on my Facebook page and talk about it too there, because that's a pretty good outlet for it. I can make like a thread. People can talk about their favorite plays and all that, and we can see where it goes. Maybe somebody wins some big money, and we can have some people posting in my page about, you know, how they won $100,000 on FanDuel or something. That would be cool, huh? So, all right, guys, this has been the Week 11 Triple F Podcast. Patrick Caldwell, thank you very much for joining me. If you want to go on my Facebook page and check out my content, just search up Patrick Caldwell, NFL Analyst on Facebook. You can also check out our blog at farfromfantasy.com. We're going to try and get some more content up there. I'm a college student, so sometimes it gets a little hectic, and I got other things I'm focusing on, so sometimes the blog isn't always the number one priority, but I'm going to do what I can to get content out to you guys. So thank you very much, and have a great week. Good luck, everybody.